Yeah, so we can look at a number of elements of it, and as the climate spokesperson, have specific responsibility for policy development in the energy area, in the retrofit area, contribute to our transport policy development, some of the land use and agriculture pieces. But I think when I look at my own portfolio in terms of energy, it is that question of, we've got this spectacular opportunity. You've heard people say that we could be the Saudi Arabia of wind, like for a country to be. And I know Mary Lou McDonald is ambitious for Irish unity, but also for energy independence and security. You know, there's other countries. I met with the Danish ambassador early this week, and he talked about how in the early 1970s they said, we want to be energy independent. And they've achieved that. We can do the same with offshore wind off the Atlantic coast. We can also ensure that, you know, communities have ownership of that energy infrastructure, that, you know, whether it be in terms of solar on houses, on buildings, on schools, on, you know, nursing homes, on farm sheds. There's, you know, that people can be generating their own electricity, be self-sufficient, but also making some money out of it in terms of contributing to the grid. So we need this integrated grid that's flexible, but also, I think, really importantly, that is largely state-owned, community-owned. We looked at the recent energy auctions, for example, and there wasn't, you know, an Irish winner in that auction. So for us, you know, I think it is important to recognise that, look, we need private players in this field. Private capital will be important, but how do we maximise the role of state agencies, the role of communities, and to really get the benefit of this, rather than, you know, huge profits being siphoned off and being exported, and at the same time, I think really importantly, reducing the cost of electricity to customers, because we've got the highest electricity costs in Europe. Families are paying on average 1,000 euros more than their European counterparts, and that's simply wrong and something that needs to be addressed. So that's the energy piece. In terms of retrofitting, we have a retrofitting scheme there, and we've been critical of the government scheme, saying that, you know, the vast amount of people either can't afford it if it's the one-stop shop scheme, haven't got the upfront money, or they're excluded from the free scheme from government, the Warmer Home Scheme. So we need a fairer retrofit scheme, and we've published policy in relation to that, is ambitious, retrofits homes. You know, we need a targeted scheme for people who are on solid fuels, for example. So there's improvements that can be made there. And then the other area I think is really important is public transport. You know, it's an absolute no-brainer. I think communities, the length and breadth of Ireland, are looking for improved public transport. They will use it if it is there, whether it's in terms of rail, whether it's in terms of buses, whether it's in terms of school bus transport. I know that's always an issue right across the country. It shouldn't be people putting their hand up saying, I want to use public transport, and being left at the side of the road. It's an absolute, you know, it's a criminal sin for a number of reasons, not least the impact on the climate and the environment. So we've fully costed proposals to be ambitious in terms of the rollout of expanded public transport services. And I think, you know, a lot of the climate debate can be fractious, and I think an awful lot of it is because of the way it's designed by government, and it's punitive, and it's built on the back of punitive taxes. Actually, there's huge opportunity there in terms of, you know, community-owned energy, state-owned energy, returning dividends for the state, and also warmer homes, better public transport, better work-life balance. They're all consistent with a sustainable future, and I think that's the way any progressive government should be talking about, thinking about, and delivering on this, you know.
And one thing you mentioned there, and it's like something I'm interested in terms of it, and I think you might have mentioned, it's a no-brainer in terms of rail system. Like it's a very energy efficient way of travelling around, and it's probably improved drastically in the last 50 years in terms of efficiency. But like we had a better rail network, I think, in Ireland maybe 100 years ago than we do now, in terms of how interconnected the country was through rail. But that has to be one of the priorities, surely, getting a good rail system in, and it takes cars off the road. There's so many benefits to it.
100%. I absolutely agree. And I think there's a couple of things there. We have the recently published All-Ireland Strategic Rail Review. We have the National Development Plan. We've got the Greater Dublin Area Transport Strategy. I'm sure we have similar regional plans right across the country. The difficulty with so much of it is that it's on paper and it doesn't get delivered. I think there's a couple of things. One, we need a mindset shift within the National Transport Authority. They have a fairly limited remit in terms of rail services. I think we need to look at the opportunity of rail. Often, there's a comparison between the bus, public bus and public rail. There is no comparison. They're both public transport, in fairness, but ask anybody, who's taken the bus every day compared to taking the train every day, the comfort, the reliability, the punctuality, there is no comparison. So for us to be, I think, really serious about achieving a shift from the private car to public transport, we need to be serious about the rollout of rail. And we are, as a party, I was spokesperson for transport. Martin Kenny, my colleague in Leitrim, is now. We've got clear proposals in terms of improving the existing network, but also expanding it in a very significant way into the regions to ensure. Because what you want is to ensure that that people can rely on it, that is available and accessible and affordable to them, to ensure I'm certain that when it's there and it's proven, when it's there, they will use it. And I think, in terms of the economics of it, the possibility of freight, and again connected with that energy piece in terms of energy infrastructure, just the economics of rail has completely shifted. And as you said, I think there's a Twitter account that publishes that map on a daily basis of the Irish rail network in 1922 compared to 2022, 2023, and I think the dismantling of the rail network was probably at a time when thinking was very different. I think we need to go back to that and significantly improve our rail services and our rail network.